Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos. We're going to be at the very bottom of Ayin Dalet Omid Aleph, Mirtz Hashem. Today is really Ayin Dalet, but we're going to finish off Ayin Dalet Omid Beis, and we'll do Ayin Hey, and that will fully catch us up for the 2 days that we'll miss because of Shavuos, Mirtz Hashem. So we begin at the two dots at the very bottom, two lines in the bottom of Ayin Dalet Omid Aleph. That's where we left off yesterday. And the Gemara starts off, and it quotes the Mishnah, V'chol HaTmeim V'chule. This is telling us that somebody that is Tomei is not allowed to eat Truma. And the Gemara now starts off and asks, where do we know that from? You know, honey, how do we know that a Tomei person is not allowed to go and eat Truma? So we bring down from Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan said over the name of Rabbi Yishmael, again, mentioned many times, when it uses the terminology Mishum, it means he didn't hear it from it directly. He heard it through intermediaries, and the Gemara doesn't mention sometimes the intermediaries. They don't know who they were. In any event, the pasuk we had in this week's past Parsha, it's today's Matzah Shabbos, when I'm dictating this, and we just learned in Parsha's Emor, we read many of these psukim that we've been darshing in the last couple of days. Amar Kora, the pasuk tells us, Ish Ish Mizera Aron V'Hutzaru Ozov, Bakodoshim lo yocha. We said Bakodoshim is a reference to Truma. And here we're going to darshan out how we know that. And it says, you're not allowed to eat it, Adash Yidhar, until you have gone to the mikveh and it had hair of shemesh. If a person is tomei nefesh, or if a person had discharge, so all of these dinim are all the same. So now, the Gemara tells us, based upon the darshaning of this pasuk, Ezeu davar sheshaveh, we turn to Ayin Dalet Omid Beis, the Zaru Shalarim. What is similar for all the Zaru Shalarim, both the male and the female? Because as Rashi points out, Bizchar Unikevos, it has to be a din over here that's by Zaru Shalarim, which is a reference to both men and women. So therefore, obviously, things that only a man can eat, such as we mentioned the other day, Kotshi Kadoshim, the Chatas, the Oshim, the Shrayim of the Mincha, so that can't be what we're talking about here, because by the usage of the Pasuk, Zerah Shalaro, so it's telling us it applies to both men and women. So Hevi Omer Zu Truma. So the obvious only thing that could be, would be talking that men and women can eat equally, would be Truma, Kohanim, or the Kohanim's wives, or the daughters, etc. Men and women are the same. The Gemara says maybe it could be something else. Emo b'chazei v'shok. There are certain korbanos that you have to go and give to the Kohen. So we have a shlomim. You have to give the chazei and the shok to the Kohen. The chazei is referring to the breast bone area, and the shok is the thigh, the right thigh, and therefore these are given to the Kohen, and the Kohen is allowed to give it to the women that are in his family as well. So therefore, maybe this means that you are not allowed to eat when you're tamei, the chazei and the shok, but truma, you would be allowed to eat when you're tamei. So Gemara says, no, ain't no b'chazeres. This isn't something that's shovel akol, as we've mentioned many times, that a woman who is a bas kohen and she marries Yisrael, she's no longer allowed to eat truma. But if the husband either dies or divorces her and there are no children, then she returns shove el beis avia kinura, and she's allowed to eat truma again. However, she is not allowed to go and eat the chazei and the shok anymore. So that's something that she doesn't go and return back, and therefore it's not shovel akol zaro shel aron, and therefore it can't be talking about here the chazei and the shok. Tap Tosos brings down an Enem Chozeres, says, well, Truma also, she's not allowed to eat Truma when she's married to the Yisrael. So Tosos answers, but yes, but that could end. It has the potential that she would be fully Chozeres if Rahman al-San, the husband, died and there are no children, so then she would be Chozeres. But here, with the Shok, the Chazei and the Shok, she doesn't go back no matter what. Where it says, but Truma Nami, Eno B'chalola. But then we have the similar thing that if a woman becomes a Chalola, let's say a grusha marries a kohen, or a almana marries a kohen gadol, so then they become a halal, and they're no longer allowed to eat truma. So here she's not chozeres. Isn't this the same thing that we're talking about with the chazei and the shok? She's ain't no chozeres. So Gemara says, no. In this situation, the halal is no longer called zera aron. Halala lav zaro the aron he, and therefore that's why it's not a problem. And therefore the only thing that's shovel akol is zera shel aron, that the pasuk says, ish ish mi zera shel aron, so this is a reference to a tomei person not being permitted to go and eat truma. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, when it says in the pasuk until he or she becomes tohar, so adiiko harav shemesh, it means not only they went to the mikveh, but they also had harav shemesh, it became nightfall. How do we know this? Emo adamaisi kapara. Maybe it's also referenced in a situation where you have to bring Karbanos, you're a mechuser kapara, for example, like the Zav who has three re'ios, or a Metzora, they have to go and bring Karbanos on the eighth day after they have the Torah process, and it's not enough to have Harav Shemesh. So maybe they're not allowed to eat Truma until the mechuser kapurim aspect is gone. Who says it's only enough Harav Shemesh? Gemara says, don't even think that. Lo sol kadaitach, because the time of Rishmal, we learned in the base manager of Rishmal that bizav baal shtei rios, this pasuk, when it's talking about a zav, it's talking about a zav who only had two rios, who doesn't have to bring korbanos. Has to wait 7 days, but doesn't have to bring korbanos. And likewise, when it says a mitzorah in the pasuk, it's talking about a mitzorah muskar, a mitzorah that was in doubt. Are they mitzorah and not a mitzorah? They're kept in abeyance for the 7 days. They're unclear. They're not muchlot, definitive, and therefore, after the 7 days, if the lesion has changed in a way that makes the person tar, so they don't need to go bring korbanos. So therefore, when the pasuk says about a zav and a mitzorah, it's talking about a zav shtei rios and a mitzorah muskar hakasu medaber, that therefore do not have to bring korbanos. And the pasuk itself says dumyo de tomei nefesh, because the pasuk compares it to tomei nefesh in the same pasuk that we just read, ishish. So ma tomei nefesh de la bar kaporu, just like a tomei nefesh has the 7 days, has the hazos on day 3 and day 7, goes to the mikvah and is tar with hair of shemesh, so too over here hanami by the zav and the mitzorah, it's talking about the lav b'nei kaporinu, it's talking about a zav and mitzorah that don't have to bring korbanos, and therefore hair of shemesh is all that is needed. Mark continues questioning this and says, however, va'ema hani mili de la bar kapara. That's true when you're not a bar kapara. So then if you don't have the korbanos that you have to bring in, not a mechusa kiporim, so then you're allowed to eat it just with nightfall, with hera shemesh. But when you are a bar kapara, when you do have to bring the korbanos on the 8th day, for example, a zav shel shlosh riosh, or a mitzorah that is muchlot, avol devar kapara, adamaisi kapara. Maybe you're not allowed to eat the truma until you go bring your korbanos on the 8th day. And furthermore, Vesu, Hadit Nan, we learned in a Mishnah, it's found in Sachim, in Nida, in Negoim, many places. So this Mishnah tells us, Vehadit Nan, Toval, the Allah, when the person who was Tomei, let's say they had a certain type of Tuma, and they just needed to go to the mikvah, then they were Tful Yom, so they're allowed to eat certain things. Toval, the Allah, Ocha B'maisit, they're allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. When Harav Shemesh comes, when they have that person having Harav Shemesh at nightfall, Ochav Truma, they're not allowed to eat Truma. Hevi Kapara, and if it's a type of Truma that has to bring Korbanos on the 8th day, so then, only after they bring the Korbanos, Ochav Ikdoshin. Minolan, how do we know this? You're telling us now that this is the case, but where do we know all this from? So Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chista, Rav tells the name of Rav Chista, because there are three psukim over here, Tlosser, Kroy, Ksivi. There are three psukim written. Number one, it tells us, Ksiv, Velo Yochal, Min HaKadoshim, Kiim Rochatz, Mesorah B'moyim. You're not allowed to eat until you went and were tovel yourself. Horochatz, implication of this pasuk is once you were tovel, so then tar, you are allowed to eat. That's a reference to Maaser Sheni. Then another pasuk says, Usivu bo ha-shemesh for the hair. You have to have hair of shemesh, nightfall. And only after that, v'yachakach yochel ben ha-kodoshim, which is a reference to truma. And then we have the third pasuk, Usivu chiper ola ha-kohen v'tohebra. Only after you bring the korbanos, and the kohen brings the korbanos for you on the 8th day, then you become tohar. So, okay, it's that. How do you have that? That's talking about Mechusa Kippurim, that they become tar to eat korbanos after, they can eat kachim only after they bring their korbanos. So that's what it's talking about. Okay, it's at Kalamasa. The first one was to teach us Maaser Sheni. All you need to do is go to the mikvah. You don't need Harav Shemesh. Kala Truma, the second pasuk tells us you need Harav Shemesh. And the third pasuk says you can only eat kachim after you bring your korbanos on the 8th day, Kala Kachim. Where it says maybe that's not the right order. Maybe instead of it being Maaser Sheni, you just need to go to the mikvah, and truma, you need hair of shemesh, maybe it's the other way around. The eifuch ano, I would flip it around and say that you can eat truma after you just went to the mikvah, and you have to wait till nightfall in order to eat maaser sheni. Someone says, no, it makes more sense, mistavar truma adifa. It makes more sense that truma should be ahead of maaser sheni in the severity, and therefore, you're going to be more lenient with maaser sheni. That only requires tefillah, and truma, which is stricter, requires also hair of shemesh in addition to the tefillah. Why is that? Because truma, it makes more sense to be stricter, because it has four strictnesses to it, four severities that truma has that Maaser Sheni doesn't have. This is a mnemonic we had previously, Shane, Machpaz. Machpaz stands for you get Misa Bidei Shamayim, as opposed to eating Maaser Sheni, you do not get Misa. The second one was Chomesh, that if you eat truma by accident, you have to go and pay a Chomesh in addition to the principal. The pay is Pidyon. There is no concept of Pidyon by truma, but you can be poda at Maaser Sheni, so it's not as strict. And finally, the Zayim is for Zorim, that only Kohanim, people that aren't Zorim, are allowed to eat Truma. Supposed to Maaser Sheni, anybody can go eat Maaser Sheni. So these four things, Machpaz, are stricter by Truma than by Maaser Sheni. Mora says, but I got five things that are stricter by Maaser Sheni. Adirabba, Maaser Adifa, because it has the following mnemonic, Shekhen, Hadas Tav. This is a mnemonic over here, Rashi tells us, the Hadas Tav stands for, the Hey is Havos Mokom. That means that you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Truma can be eaten anywhere, but Maaser Sheni has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Then the Dalit stands for vidui, that you have to do vidui ma'aser, but that doesn't technically have to be done for truma. We do it for truma, but only when you have ma'aser sheni. If you don't have ma'aser sheni, then you don't have to do it for truma. The samach in hadas, that stands for osur l'onen. A person who's an onen is not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni, but an onen is allowed to eat truma. Then you have the tes, that stands for tuma, that the person is not permitted to burn, let's say, ma'aser sheni oil that was tame, as opposed to truma. You are allowed to burn truma oil that is tame and get benefit from it. And then finally, you have the vase, that stands for beer. There's a chiyuv to go and be mevayer, to get rid of it. And we don't find that by truma. You can keep truma for a long period of time, as opposed to ma'aser sheni, that you do have to get rid of it. In any event, here you have five for ma'aser sheni and only four for truma. So it seems, if anything, ma'aser sheni should be stricter than truma. Mor says, no. In this situation, afilu hachi, even though you have four versus five, misa difa. The strictest one over here is your chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, if you're a non-Kohen and you intentionally eat truma on purpose. So therefore, that is stricter. And that's why, if you have to have one lenient, which is that ma'aser sheni could be eaten as soon as you go to the mikvah, and the other one you have to wait till nightfall, Harav Shemesh, in addition to the mikvah, it makes sense that it should be ma'aser sheni, can be eaten right away, and truma you have to wait till nightfall. Now, the Gemara continues and says, that's teretz number one. Rav Amar, he says, I have another teretz. He says, even below Misa Adif, even if you didn't have this Misa to show that Truma should be stricter than the Maisa Sheni, I still would tell you that the order would be that Maisa Sheni can be eaten as soon as you went to the mikvah, and Truma you have to wait till Harav Shemesh after the mikvah. Nami lo Moses Amos, you couldn't say that. Why is that? Because the pasuk tells us, Omakro Nefesh Asher Tigabo, V'toma Ado Orev, Lo Yochamin HaKadoshim, Ki Imrochatz Besuro B'moyim. So it says Nefesh, Ezu Dovesh Hashav Lucho Nefesh, what's applicable to all Nefesh, not only Kohanim, but to Yisraelim, Hevi Omer Zem Maiser. This is a reference to Maiser. And then it says, you're allowed to eat it if you go and Rochatz Besuro B'moyim. Mor says, V'akati Hani Mili Hechad Elah B'Kapara. Again, we could say this is all in a situation where you don't have to bring korbanos. But maybe, Aval Hechad B'Kapara, we have the obligation to bring korbanos, maybe Adamaisi Kapara, you still wouldn't be allowed to eat the truma, even if it's Harav Shemesh, until you bring the korbanos on the next day. So Amar Abai says, no, we have two psukim, Trei Korek Siv B'Yoledes. We have two psukim that are written by a woman who gave birth, and she has to go and bring korbanos. Siv Amalosi Mei Tahara, it says there that she, at the conclusion of a period of time of Yemei Tahara, so Kivan Shemalu Yemel, when this period of time is done, Tahara, so then she is Tahara. However, Uksiv, it also says, but then she has to bring her Korbanos of Leida, and only then is she Tahara. So how can you have both? So it teaches us, she has to wait a certain amount of time until she's Tahara, but then she doesn't have to bring her Korbanos, and she's allowed to eat Truma, and then and only she's allowed to eat Kodshim, only after she has this long Tfuyom period of time, and only at the conclusion of that period of time, 40 days for a boy, 80 days for a girl, can she go and bring her korbanos on the 41st day and on the 81st day, respectively, and then she can eat kachim. Moshe says, but maybe let's flip it around. Say that, in fact, she could eat kachim after she just had the 7-day period of time for a boy and a 14-day period of time of tumah for a girl, and then she becomes Yemei Tahara, and then she should eat kachim. And only after the 41st day and the 81st day, if she brings her korbanos, then she should be able to eat truma. Flip it around. So Moshe says, no, again, the argument that you're expecting, Mistavra Kodesh Chomer, it makes more sense that Kodesh is stricter than truma, because we mentioned the mnemonic, Shekane, Pank, Achas, these six things that are found by korbanos that aren't found by truma. The pankinas was pigul, noser, and karbon, and mi'ila. Those are all related to the fact that it's a karbon. There's a din of pigul if you have an incorrect machshava during the avoda, that you can eat it in the wrong time period. If anything is left over of the karbon that could be eaten after the appropriate time period, the fact that it's a karbon itself, the fact that it could be mi'ila if you used it unintentionally, inadvertently, so then you have to pay the principal back, as well as bring a korban asham mi'ila and pay a fifth, and then it's chayiv kares, that's the chav, that it's very strict, it's stricter than trum, which is misa b'dei shamayim, kares is even stricter, and finally, it's osur la'one, that the korban is not allowed to be eaten in aninas, as opposed to truma, which can. So for these six things, truma is not as strict as kachim. Mor says, adirabba, truma chabura. Truma is more chamur because it has the four things that we just mentioned before. Shekein machpas, it has the misa b'dei shamayim. It has the ches, which we pointed out was the chomish that you had to pay. It had the pay that there is no pigeon. A carbon if it gets a mum, can be nifteh, and zarim, only kohanim are allowed to eat it, as opposed to korbanos, anyone can eat. So why don't we say it's truma stricter? So again, the Gemara gives the obvious answer, hanat levishim, six is greater than four. And Tosu says, it could have also said over here, that karis is greater than misa b'nei shemayim. So therefore, those are the reasons why, if you have to pick one to be truma, and one to be kachim, it makes sense that the truma should be able to be eaten before you bring the korbanos, and the kachim, which is stricter, you have to wait till you have your mechusa kippurim korbanos brought. Rava now says, Rava Amar, below Hanach Defishin, even if you didn't give this six is greater than four teretz, lo mozes amris, you still wouldn't be able to suggest that Truma should be the longer one, and Kachim could be eaten as soon as you have your Meitara, even without bringing the Korbanos. Why not? Because Omer Kor, the Pasuk says, V'chiper olah ha-kohen v'tohera. Only after she brings her Korbanos is she tohera. Implying, Meklal, she Tumeya. Until that time, she is Tumeya. Now, V'soka da'itoch b'kachim, if you're telling me that we're dealing over here with Kachim, that she could go and eat the Kachim right away after the Meitara start, so Ikri kan v'abosar she'iga b'chol tomei lo yocha. But it says that you're not allowed to eat the Kachim over here, you're not even allowed to touch the Kachim. So she has Tuma, it can't be talking about Korbanos, El Shvamina B'Truma. Obviously, it's talking about Truma. She is allowed to touch, is allowed to eat the Truma after she has the Yemei Tahara start, even though she hasn't yet brought her Mechusa Kippurim Korbanos. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, Masiv Lo Rav Shisha B'Rei the Ravidi. Rav Shisha B'Rei the Ravidi says, Umi Matzis Amris Truma Ksiva Hacha. Can you really tell me that the Pasuk is talking about Truma? V'atanya Daber B'nei Yisrael, and it says, Ainli Ela B'nei Yisrael, Gizyores V'Shivcha Meshuchreres Minayin. How do we know that the Pasuk also includes in this discussion a woman who's a convert and a Shivcha that was previously a Shivcha Kananis but was freed and now is a Shivcha Meshuchreres? So these people are not allowed to go marry a Kohen. And how do we know that they are included in this Pasuk? Talmud Lomer, Isha. The Pasuk says, Isha. The Pasuk tells us, Daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor Isha ki sazri av yodo zachar. So the extra word Isha, that would be telling us over here that it includes even a Giyoris and a Shivik Mushukharis. Now, if it's talking about Truma, how can that possibly be? A Kohen's not allowed to marry a Giyoris and a Shivik Mushukharis. How could they ever possibly eat Truma? Giyoris and Shivik Benos Mechal Truma Ninu? Could they possibly be eligible to eat Truma? There's no circumstance where they could eat Truma. So, therefore, Rav Shisha B'Rei the Ravidi says, how do we know that this Pasuk is really talking about Truma? Maybe it is talking about Kachim. So, Rava says, no, it can't be below. And we turn to Ayin Heyamun Aleph. Rava says, it's not talking about kachim, it is talking about truma. Because v'aksiv, b'chol kodesh, lo sigah. You know, I touch any kodesh, which is l'rabos ha-truma, which comes to include truma. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, b'ayi parshosa, it says, v'omamar b'meseches makos, b'chol kodesh is l'rabos ha-truma, the asurubo koyimei toar, shito v'ulas yom, l'tuma le'dasa. So it says that you're not allowed to go and eat it during this period of time. And actually, all during the days of the 33 days after the 7 days of original Tuma, I may have misspoken this before, that say you're allowed to eat Truma then. No, you're not allowed to eat Truma then. You're only allowed to eat the Truma at the start of the 41st day, when she's no longer, she had Harav Shemesh. It's a long Tfuyom period of time. And now, at the start of the 41st day, in the night time, she's allowed to go and eat Truma. And only if she's has to bring her korbanos, only after she brings her korbanos on the 41st day would she be allowed to eat kachim. So this is a tuyom. This is the classical Harav Shemesh of a tuyom. I misspoke before if I said this, I don't remember now, that if I said that she's allowed to eat truma during that 33-day period after the 7 days and the 66-day period for a girl after the 14 days of Tumah, she's not allowed to eat Truma then either, because she's still called the Tuyom during that period of time. It's only at the conclusion of all that period that she's allowed to go and eat Truma. Harav Shemesh at the end of the 40th day, at the end of the 80th day. And then on the beginning of the 41st day time, in the beginning of the 81st day time, that's when she would bring her korbanos for the Leida, and then she could go and eat Kachim. So here clearly you see, the Chol Kodesh Lo Sigah is talking about Truma, but it's obviously referring as well, as we said, Isha is referring to the Yoris and the Shivcha. So how could it be? Elokra mili mili ka choshev. It's talking about all the dinim. Some are applicable, some are not applicable, and therefore it's talking about Truma, even though sometimes it's not going to be applicable to the Yoris and the Shivcha. So Gemara now asks, Utlasa kroi b'truma lomli. Bottom line is, we actually have three psukim over here. We have the pasuk that we brought down, Ish Ish, and then we also have Uba Hashemish v'teher v'yacha yocha min ha-kodoshim kilach bohu. And we also have Ushloshim yom ushloshim zomim teshe bid mei tahara b'chol kodesh lo sigah v'yal ha-mikdash lo sevo ad melosh yimei tahara. So we have three psukim that teach us dinim by truma. Gemara says tzricha, we need all three. Why? Because if we only had the first pasuk, di mei adesher yitar, if we only had that pasuk, lo havi yadina b'mai, I wouldn't know what exactly we're talking about. It does say Adesh Yitar, but we wouldn't know what exactly is the Tahara process that we're talking about. Lo Havi Yedona Mai. Chos of Rahman, and therefore the Torah tells us, Lo Shemesh with the hair. It tells us that when you have nightfall, hair of Shemesh, that's when you're allowed to eat Truma. Now, if Chos of Rahman of Shemesh, if I only had that Pasuk, Animila de la Bakabar, I would have said that's only in the case when there are no Kabbanas that have to be brought. But when there are Kabbanas that have to be brought, Avol, the Bar Kapara, if you do have to bring Kabbanos, let's say the Zav of three Rios or the Mitzorah that was Mukhla, say Ma'ad de Maisi Kapara, until they brought the actual Kabbanos. You can eat Truma only after you bring the Kabbanos, but not beforehand. So that's why it says, Kasa Rahmana Ad Melos. No, at the end of the Tahara period of time, even before the Kabbanos, you're allowed to eat it. No, so just write that. Because of Rahmana Ad Melos, you know what I would have said? Havamina, Afila Belo Tefila. You wouldn't even need to go to the mikvah. You just need a certain amount of time. That's why Kasa Rahmana Ad Shiyitah. You need to have that you became tar by going to the mikvah. So that's why you need all three psukim to tell us all of these aspects of the din. Mar says, that's great. Well, Ahach Tana, the Polygalay, the Tana of the Rabbi Yeshua. This was according to the Tana who learned in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel everything that we said till now. But there are others that disagree with that. What about that Tana? Well, Ahach Tana de Palig Alei de Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. He argues with this, and he says, no, we're not talking here about Truma with a Zav of Shtei Re'ios and a Metzorah that was Muskar, and it's like Tuma of Tumas Meis. That's how the Tana of the Rabbi Shmuel learned it. But this Tana argues, and he says, you know what we're talking about here? This Pasuk, Ish Ish, it's about Bezov Baal Shalosh Rios, who does have to bring Karbanos. Or Mitzorah Mukhla, a definitive Mitzorah, Hakosim Medaber, that also has to bring Karbanos. And when it says, V'hai Adesha Yidhar, it means Ad Demaisi Kapara. According to this Tana, these Psukim are a reference to you can't eat Kachim until the conclusion of bringing your Mechusa Kippurim, the Karbanos that you're lacking. So why do you need it twice? Trey Kroy Bekotchim Lomali. What other need do we have? Someone says, no, you need both Psukim, Tzricha. Why? Because of Rechmona Bioledis. He only wrote it by Yoledis. You know what it said? Nishum de Meruba to Masa. That's because she has a very long period of time that she's Tmeya. Again, after a boy, she's Tmeya for 33 days, that she's not allowed to eat Truma or bring Kachim. And after a girl, 14 days, she has 66 days when she's not allowed to eat Truma, and she wouldn't be allowed to eat Kachim. So therefore, it's 41 days. On the 41st day, she can bring her upon us. And the 81st day, she can bring her upon us after a girl. So that's why you would have said that by Yoledes, they're not allowed to eat till that period of time. Avo Bezov, which is a shorter period of time, it's only 7 days. Aim low. Maybe it doesn't apply. Maybe you're allowed to go and eat the Kachim even before you bring in Mechusa Kippurim. Ah, because of Rechman and Zav. So they just told me by Zav, you know what he said? The Lohuta Michlolo. You never have a Zav that has the Zav Shlosh Rios that doesn't have to wait 7 days. As opposed to Avo Yoledes, sometimes when they see blood, there is no Tum at all. For example, during the period of time of 33 days after giving birth to a boy, or the 66 days after giving birth to a girl for the 14 days when she's Tmeya, in the next 66 days, even if they see blood, they're not Tmeyos. So therefore, Avo Yoledes, Emelo, since it's not always Osir, sometimes it's Mutter, sometimes it's called Dam that is not Dam of Isser. Dam, it doesn't go and make you Tomei. So therefore, Emelo, therefore Tzricha, therefore you need to tell me the din by Yoledes, and you need to tell me the din as well by Azov. Then the Gemara asks, "B'mayim yuva b'tamei ara erev," and the rest of the pasuk says "v'yitar." So, lomeli, what do I need that pasuk for in this situation? So, Rizera, that pasuk tells me l'negia that in addition to not being able to eat the truma during that period of time when you're a tvul yom, you're not allowed to go and touch truma during that period of time. And this we learned in the following brayse of the Tanya. The pasuk says "v'tamei," right? That's by "b'mayim yuva b'tamei ado erev." So, I would have said "yochel lako." It might be that it's tamei in regards to everything, including even Maisa Sheni, Rashi says. So therefore, Tabalom and Vitar. That's why the end of the pasuk says Vitar. In regards to Maisa Sheni, even before nightfall, even before Har Shemesh, it is Tar after you brought it to the mikvah. Now, if you just wrote Vitaher, even Taher, Yochel HaKol, I would have said that includes even Truma. Tamaloma, Vitame. That's what it needs to teach us, that for Truma, it's still not allowed to be eaten until the nighttime. HaKetzad, Kan LaMaisa, Kan LaTruma. Again, as we pointed out, one is to teach us Maisa, one is to teach us Truma. One says, again, let's flip it around. Maybe the Maisa should be a Harav Shemesh and the Truma should be just enough after you went to the mikvah, the Epochana. So again, Mor says, Mistabra, ki hechid de chamira, achila de truma, me achila de maiser, hachanami chamira negia de truma, me negia de maiser. No, just as we learned out by truma, we gave the reasons why truma is stricter than maiser sheni. The misa b'dei shemayim aspect was the overriding definitive proof that truma is stricter. So too, just like by achila it's stricter, so too by negia. So these psukim tell us you're not allowed to touch it. So the person who hasn't yet gone to the mikvah can't even touch maaser sheni. But once they go to the mikvah, they can now touch maaser sheni, just like they can eat maaser sheni. And the person who wants to touch or eat truma has to wait until Harav Shemesh. That's teretz number one. The bais say, or we could say, negia de truma mehocha nafka. How do we know you're not allowed to touch truma until you had Harav Shemesh from the following drasha? The pasuk says, b'chol kodesh lo sigo. You're not allowed to go and touch. A woman who's a yoledes is not allowed to touch any kodesh. What does that mean? Asara liocha. That teaches us she's not allowed to go and eat it. Or maybe not. Oh, anyway, El Negea. Maybe it means she's not allowed to touch it, like it literally sounds. So Talmud Loma, the pasuk tells us, "B'chol kodesh lo sigo, b'yala mikdash lo savo." Keep on reading the pasuk. It says not only to the kodesh can she touch, but she can't go into the mikdash. So we have a hekesh over here between mikdash and the kodesh. Mekish kodesh le mikdash. So what does it teach us? Ma mikdash dover sheyesh bo netilas neshama. Just like if you go into the mikdash when you're not allowed to, it's a kares prohibition. So too, the kodesh, davar sheyesh bo netilas neshama, it has to be something that's a kares prohibition or like a kares prohibition, which would be misa bidei shamayim. Ubinegiya netilas neshama leka. Now, by touching, as bad as it is, you're not allowed to touch it, there is no netilas neshama. V'hai da'avki v'loshen negiya. So why does the Torah use it, the loshen of negiya, if it's talking, if it's talking about eating, to teach us, hachikamah negiya ke'achila, but to teach us that, yes, you don't get karis for it, you don't get misa b'di shamayim, but in fact, you're not allowed to touch it, just like you're not allowed to go and eat it. If something is forbidden to be eaten, it's likewise forbidden to be touched. That concludes these complicated drushos. I hope I said it clearly. I'm trying to rush a little bit so we can get through most of Ayin Hey. Again, I hope it's clear. In any event, now we go and discuss the next part of the mission, which said, Pesua Daka B'chule, a person who has various types of damage to their testicles or to their gid, or as we'll see, even to the cords that hold up the testicle inside the scrotal sac. So damage to any of those could be a potential psul for a person that he can't be yovel lakol, and he wouldn't be allowed to go and have relations with a woman who's muteris lakol. And then we also said that that's if you had relations with them. According to the Tana of our Mishnah, there's the opinion of Remei that says even if you didn't have relations, if they're awaiting to have bia with somebody that is asur to them. But according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, we said if they're just mishtameris labia, but they didn't have this via psula, so in the situation where a person was married and then he became a tzuedak or krushavcha, so if he didn't divorce his wife, but he hasn't had relations with the wife, then it doesn't ruin her from eating truma. If he had relations with her, then she's no longer allowed to eat truma. Now the Gemara says, Mantana, who is the author that says, Mishtameres labia psula daraisa, if you're awaiting to have relations with somebody, that would be forbidden on a daraisa level, so if she's just awaiting and hasn't had the relations, she's still allowed to eat. Like we just said in our case, where the man became a psua daka, so he's a kohen, he became a psua daka, so his wife would not be allowed to go and eat truma if he had relations with her. But while he's just, quote, waiting to have relations with her, he hasn't divorced her, in that situation, she's still allowed to eat truma. Who's this opinion? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Amora Rabbi Elazar says, this is a machlokis between the machlokis nuya, between Rabbi Meir and the Tana Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Shimon hi. This is a machlokis between the Tana Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. They say that Mishtameris Labia Psula Daraisa is Achla. And Rabbi Meir says, no. Rabbi Yochanan, however, disagrees with the Amora Rabbi Elazar, and he says, "Afilu tem Rav Meir." This could even be according with the opinion of Rav Meir, who says, "Mishtameris labia psula daraisa is not allowed to go and eat." So how can this be according to Rav Meir? So he says, "Shiny hacha, this case is different. Shekfar ochla. In this situation, the kohen's wife has been eating truma for the last 20, 30 years, and now Nevuch, he got the psua daka situation, so she can continue to eat truma because she already has eaten truma, and even though this is a case of Mishtameris labia psula daraisa, which normally Rav Meir would forbid, but that's only if she hadn't eaten truma beforehand. But if she's already eaten truma, until they do the Isser, even Rav Meir would say, according to Rav Yochanan, that you'd be allowed to still go and eat truma. The wife could still eat truma. What does the Amora Rabbi Elazar say back to his Rebbe Rav Yochanan? So Rabbi Elazar, he answers back, no. Shekvar achla lo amrina. We don't say over here shekvar achla. And I'll show you why. Because the ilo tema achi, if you're going to say Shekvar Ocha allows you to, then Bas Yisrael, a woman who's Yisrael, a Zara, she nises l'kohen, that gets married to a Kohen, so then she's allowed to eat Truma. So she's Kvar Ochla. But then if her husband dies, Umeiz Bala, are you telling me Tochal? Can she continue eating Truma? If they don't have any progeny, so then she returns back to her non eating truma status. So how come in this situation, Shekvar Ochla, you don't say this? So therefore, Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, that's why I don't like your teretz of Yochanan. Now, what is Rabbi Yochanan? He's the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar. What does he tell him? Rabbi Yochanan tells him, no, there's a difference. Hosom poka kinyone. Hochalo poka kinyone. In the case that you mentioned when the Yisrael, the woman who's a Bas Yisrael, married the Kohen, if the kohen dies or divorces her, so then that relationship is totally abrogated. It's gone. Paka kinyone, the kinyan kaspo that allowed it to eat the truma, is gone. But in our case, the husband, the kohen, is still married to his wife. So the kinyan is still there. It's just a question now, is mishtameres labi psula d'oraisa, because Nebuchadnezzar became a psula daka. So in this situation, since she already ate, she'aini hocha, she'kvar ochla, even Rav Meir would say she's allowed to keep on eating. That's Rav Yochanan's opinion. Now we said in the Mishnah that psula daka is not allowed to go and feed his wife truma if they had relations. So eiza p'tua, how do we define a p'tua daka and a kur shofcha? So the Gemara is now going to discuss that. Tana Rabbanan, we bring down the following brisa. The brisa tells us, so tosefta, eiza p'tua daka, what's the definition of p'tua daka? I don't know why the Gemara calls it daka with an aleph, and in the pasuk it's with a hey. Maybe this is the Aramaic form of the word daka, is with an aleph probably. Okay, in any event, p'tua daka is defined as kol shenitzu beitzim shlo. The testicles, the beitzim, are in some way petza. There's a wound on them. Even if it's one of the testicles, although we'll see that it has to make the person sterile, incapable of having children. Any of these wounds that we're going to be dealing with, if you can still have children, they're not considered significant wounds to make a person ineligible to now marry a woman, and if he was a kohen, not to allow her to go eat truma. So it has to be that he can't have children. The wound has made him infertile. So if even if it's a one testicle, but it makes him infertile, so then this then would apply. Even if there was a hole that went through and through, even without any chisaron, if you had a hole that went through and through the testicle, and even if the testicle itself was just being dissolved, there was some disease or something that made it dissolve, or some trauma that made it dissolve, or even if a small piece of them is missing, in all of these situations, that is the definition of p'tua daka. He said, no. I heard from the great Rabbonim in Kerem B'Yavneh, the yeshiva Kerem B'Yavneh, where Sanhedrin was, kol she'ein lo ela beitza achas, if somebody only has one beitza, so then ein lo ela srischama, he is a srischama, which means, srischama essentially means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused this, as opposed to a human being caused this, and therefore, kosher, he is kosher. So the Gemara says, really? Swiss chama soka daitach? Do you really think a person with a single beitza, with a single testicle, is called a Swiss chama? Rashi explains in Dibra Maskul, Swiss chama soka daitach, three lines on the bottom. Ha Swiss chama bide shamayim, machmas choli. Swiss chama is from choli. Ha lav choliu. This isn't the choli. This is the way the child was born. So how can you tell me if you have one testicle, this is a Swiss chama? That's not true. So the Gemara says, you're right. What it means, when Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Broker said this, he means Ella Harehu Kisris Chama, Harehu Kis Swiss Chama. You're like a Swiss Chama, and therefore of a kosher. Just like a Swiss Chama, this din doesn't apply. It's only if a person caused this damage that these dinim apply. But if it's caused by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, hold the definition of what does it mean caused by a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Does it mean including sickness, or does it mean something else caused by a Kodesh Baruch Hu exactly? So that's a whole machlokas in the poskim. In any event, it's like a Swiss Chama, and therefore it's kosher. Even if a person only has one beitza, one testicle. Mora says, going back to the discussion we just had, the nikiv lo molid, are you telling me that a person that has a puncture in their testicles is not capable of having a child? But we have the following maysa, how gavra, there once was a certain person, the solik l'dikli, was climbing up a palm tree and returned to ayin hei omid beis. What happened? The charze silva bebeitzim, Rashi explains, top Rashi, nikvu kots mebeitzav, he had a thorn enter into his testicles and caused him to have the nafak minei kichut demugla, as Rashi says over here. He had shichva zera come out of this hole that was caused by this thorn, and it was like kichut demugla, Rashi says, kimin lecha, it was like a pas that came out through this puncture wound, and nevertheless, so this was a puncture wound, and had zera coming out of it, so it was through and through, and nevertheless, v'olid. And this person who climbed the tree and had this puncture wound afterwards had children with his wife. So the Gemara says, not so fast. Shmuel asked Rav, what's the halach in this situation? And what did Rav tell him? Rav said to Shmuel, say, go, the chazer abonov, and go and check out who the real father is. As Rashi says over here, Zonso ishtos, his wife Nebuch had committed adultery, and that's what Rav said. Say v'chazer abonav me'ayin him. See who the father is. It's not the guy that had the punctured testicle, unfortunately. Gemara now continues and says, "I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel. Rabbi Yehuda tells the name of Shmuel. P'tzua daka b'dei shemayim kosher. If this p'tzua daka occurred through HaKadosh Baruch Hu as opposed to a human being, so then the person is considered kosher. There is no problem with them. Lovul lakal. They can go marry a woman. If he's a Kohen, she would be able to eat truma. That's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said. Amar Rava, Rava said, that's why, I'll show you that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is right, that's why the pasuk says, Hainu de karinon petsua, velo karinon hapatsua. It uses the lashon of petsua daka, and not hapatsua, Rashi explains. Hevi mashma hapatsua meikaro, kigo mimei imo. The word hapatsua means it happened from birth, and therefore, by using the lashon of petsua, it could even be after birth, and again, it depends. If it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through some illness, so then, they are not considered asur lavol lakal, but if it came through human trauma, then it would be asur lavol lakal. Mark gives a different reason for Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Masnisa Tana, that's based upon a braisa. Now, the pasuk says, Lo yavo petsua daka, a person who is a petsua daka, uchur shavcha b'kal Hashem, then I'll go enter into the kal of Hashem. Then the next pasuk right after that says, Lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, gamdar siri, lo yavo lo b'kal Hashem. So we have the juxtaposition of the pasuk that says a p'tzua daka can't go into the kal Hashem, and the next pasuk says a mamzer can't go into the kal Hashem, so therefore ma'al ha'alim the other, just like a mamzer is a human creation, and has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu causing this, it's an individual human decision, so too, in order to be a p'tzua daka, it has to be done by a human being, avkan bidei adam. So the hekesh between these two p'sukim teaches us this. Now, this is in Dvarim, so we have smuchin over here. This hekesh is smuchin, and everybody darshins such a hekesh is doable in Dvarim. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the first four svarim, in Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, you don't darshin smuchin here. You would darshin this hekesh, this smuchin, and therefore this is good according to everybody. Mark continues and says, "Amar Rava, Petzua Bechulon." Rashi explains Bechulon means all the different aspects over here. Could be the testicles, it could be the gid, or even the cords that hold the testicles up inside the scrotal sac. Patsua b'chulin, if you have this wound on any of them, dach b'chulin, or you have it crushed in any of them, or karis b'chulin, or if any of them are cut off, the same din applies that you also love all the kol. So what does this mean? Patsua b'chulin, this includes bein shen niftza hagid, whether the actual aver of the person was wounded, bein shen niftzu beitzim, or whether the testicles were wounded, bein shen niftzu chutei beitzim. This is why I said these cords that are holding the testicles in their place inside the scrotal sac. If any of them are petza, wound, so then they're going to qualify for lo yavo b'kol. Dach b'kulon, likewise, if it's crushed, it applies to all of them as well. Bein shenidach hagid, bein shenidcho b'beitzim, bein shenidcho t'beitzim. It applies to all three of these physical locations, the aver, the beitzim, or the cords as well. And likewise, krus, when it's cut off, krus shavcha, also b'kulon applies to all of them. Bein shenichras hagid, bein shenichrusu beitzim, bein shenichrusu chutei beitzim. These three dinim of petua, of dach, and karus apply to all three of these locations. One of the rabbis asked Rava, he asks this very strange question because we're so familiar with what Petzua Daka is. But he asks, how do we know that Petzua Daka is talking about in the genital area? Maybe, Ema Barosho, maybe it means that if you have a wound on your ear, you have a wound on your face, on your head someplace, that is the definition of Petzua Daka, lo yavo b'kol. So Amar Lei, where it says that Rava responded back to this Rav, and he told him, mi delo mona be doros. Notice it says by the Mitzri, it says that he can't come into the Kahal until the third generation. By the Moavi and the Edomi, so it says they can't ever come into, even as Adar Asiri, they can't come into the generations. In other words, it talks specifically about generations. But Rava says, Shema Mina, from the fact that it doesn't mention any generations over here, in regard to the Petzua Daka, it's talking about in the situation that he can't have any children. In other words, the petza was ba'oso makom. It was in that place, and that's why it doesn't mention anything about generations. Where it says, maybe not. The reason why it doesn't mention generations is because only the ihu, the osur, berei, ubar, berei, kosher. But that's because the other generations are in fact permitted. They're not osur. So maybe that's the reason why it doesn't mention generations. Where it says, no, because you compare it to the Petzua Daka and Krushavcha are listed together. There's a hekesh between them in the pasuk. Dumi the Krushavcha. And certainly Krushavcha is talking about in the gid. Ma Krushavcha b'osamachim. It's talking about in the genital area. Av hai nami b'osamachim. So the Petzua Daka must also be talking about in the genital area. Mori asks a very strange question. How do you know Krushavcha is in the genital area? U Krushavcha gufei. The actual cutting off of the gid itself that we call it Krushavcha. How do you know that that's talking about Osamakum, talking about the gid. Mimaidim Osamakum ho, Ema mi sivse. Maybe it's talking about that if you have a cut in your lips, that is going to be called a krus shavcha, because you have saliva that will come out of your mouth if you cut your lips. Gemara says, no. Shofcha kisiv. It says krus shofcha, which implies b'makom sheshofech, that the place that we're talking about, krus shofcha, has to be the place where normally the item, such as the zera, comes out shofech. It spills out. As opposed to the lips, which the saliva doesn't spill out from the lips. If you expectorate, it will come out and go a distance. So Gemara says, okay, that's why it's not talking about the lips, but maybe the emo michotmo, maybe it's talking here from the nose. The nose, it doesn't get ejected a long distance, it just leaks out of your nose. And maybe that's what it's talking about. Kurshofa means you cut off the nose. Maybe michotmo. So Gemara says, no. Miksiv bishvoch doesn't say that's what causes it to come out. Kurus shofa kisiv, it says kurshofa. What does that mean? It's only because you cut it that it now spills out. But if you didn't cut it, so then it wouldn't just spill out, but it would be mekaleach. It would be going out like a chetz. It would be shooting out. As opposed to, from the nose, it just drips out even before you cut it. To come to exclude the nose, the idi shofichu, the nose, your nose is leaking. Your nose is draining. You have a cold, so your nose leaks. When you cut off the nose, then the mucosal discharge that would come out would leak out. So it leaks out before you cut it off, it leaks out after you cut it off. That can't be the definition of krus shofcha. Krus shofcha means only when you cut it off does it now leak out. Beforehand, it went out like a chetz. Alternatively, we can say we learned in the following brayso, in Nesnisa Tana, Nemar lo yovo psuedaka, we have the pasuk that says the psuedaka and the krus shofcha can't go bikal Hashem. And it says in the next pasuk, "V'nemar lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem." So again, the juxtaposition, the smuchim of these two psukim, al halav osamakum, since that obviously by the mamzer is talking about osamakum. That's how you make a mamzer. So to avkam osamakum. So this brisa says that's how you know that the tzudak and the kushavcha are talking about the genital area and not the head and not the nose or the lips. Mark continues and says, "Nikev limato me'atora." Shekinegdo lemala me'atora. If you have some sort of a puncture that went in, now lemata means if the person is standing and he's not kosher, he's not in an erect position, so the git is going to be going down towards the ground. It's the exiting from your body and going out away from your body, and the tip of the git is going to be down. So that's called lemata. And the part that's above the atora, which is the thick ridge of tissue right before the git starts to taper off, what's called the corona. So that area and closer to the body, that's called lamala. So when the git is in the non-erect state, so then the tip of the git going towards the end of the git where the zera or the urine come out, that's called lamata. And closer to the body, what we call proximal, that's called lamala. So if you have the puncture that goes from below to above, and it goes through the corona area. Sava Rabbi Chiya bar Abba lachshuri. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba thought that this is not going to make somebody into incapable of having children. So Amalei Ravasi. Ravasi says, Hochi Amar Rishu Levi Atara Koshi my kevis. No, if you have any puncture through the actual corona, through the Atara, so then it's going to make somebody incapable of having children, and therefore Lo Yovel B'Kol would apply in this situation. We didn't get to the bottom of the Amid, but I think this is a pretty good breakpoint over here at the two dots. We really, Baruch Hashem, caught up the extra additional Amid of Gemara. We're a little bit behind, but Mitzvah Hashem will catch it up tomorrow. We'll finish off this little bit of Ayin Hamid base tomorrow and do just Ayin Vav tomorrow. And Baruch Hashem, we're all set for Shavuos. I wish everybody a good Fach. This we conclude today's share.